She's still here.
Oh, guys, he's back.
Well, I'd like to welcome Pat Benatar to the show tonight.
I'm channeling my inner Pat. I'll explain later.
She's going to hit me with your best shot.
I'm going to hit you with my best shot.
Oh, far away. Well, Matt, Ken, hello, Chris, Matt, Tooned, Leroy, Cindy.
Guess what, guys?
Lee, Muppet.
The gang's back together.
Oh,
no, thank God.
Thank God he's back. Well, Simone, firstly, before we continue, I'd like to say what a wonderful effort you did holding the fort while I was away. Because while I was away, of course, there was an update to the program.
Well,
George, how you going, brother? Cousin. I was about to say brother, but he's our cousin. Matt, how you going, mate? So well done. Because don't you love it when there's an update? And
you go,
I just worked out how to do this, and now there's an update. Westy.
So,
mate,
it's just rock and roll.
Westy's played some of the biggest.
We get to Westy.
Oh, mate.
Hi, Matt. Thanks, darling. I wish you were here when he was gone. I could have used your help. Jesus. Matt, West.
Oh, West is all over. I'm pressing Nick. So can you hear us? That'd be good start.
Oh, thanks,
Dan. I'm guessing everyone can hear us, so I'm pressing Nick now. Sound all right? Yeah, top marks, Simone. Nice work, Simone.
Thanks, everybody.
Guessing everybody can hear us.
Yes, they can. They can see.
So,
g'day and welcome. Podcast number. Where are we at? 32.
Can't believe it.
Season 32.
So it's not Breaking Bad.
Oh, we're going to go longer than Breaking Bad. That only did 5 seasons. We're going all the way.
What's the prequel going to be like? Better call Simone.
Oh, God. Better call Christopher. You want the weather?
Jesus.
Look, guys, in all honesty, I'm so excited that Mike is back. That was a tough 5 weeks, four, because I missed one. But thanks for, like I said last week, hanging in there with me. I really appreciate your support. Yes, he's back! Right. Hardcore fans!
He's back and deaf in one ear.
Good! I don't have to stress every Thursday.
You know, I reckon you've worked on that look a bit. I just turned up as is, straight out of the bus.
I'm doing, hear me with your best shot.
So every time I hear that song now, I hear shot.
He thinks it says shot.
So next time, Lee Miller pointed that out.
Thanks, Chris Tooned.
It sounds like shot. Hit me with your best shot, far away. So it's never going to be the same for me.
Anyway, guess what, gang? I'm back to typing and answering. Michael is taking the show away. And I'm just going to chime in like the good old days. Thank God.
See, my hair actually looks darker. It's actually white in real life, but it's amazing what television can do.
I love a good wig.
Adds 10 pounds and makes your hair look darker. Actually, I lost a few kilos.
Did you look skinny, Minnie?
Well, I wouldn't say skinny, but I can fit into some clothes that didn't fit into before the tour.
Oh, yeah. Drink
money. Mainly because my arms are a bit smaller. I've got a withered arm.
Right, so why don't you tell the gang, look, now that you're home and that the tour's off, why don't you tell the gang the actual reality of what physically you went through before getting into all the fun stuff?
Stuff is easy, the mental stuff.
Why don't you tell them about the hospital visit now that we're home? Or you don't prefer not to? That's cool.
Well, there's normally one or two hospitalisations per tour. I mean, there's nothing special about that. A couple of cortisone injections and a few MRIs and a couple pats on the bum, go on your way, son. But it doesn't matter.
Knee and elbow blowout, the two worst things.
Popeye elbow.
As a guitarist,
I've got to be honest, the stairs and the old footy knee don't go well together, lifting gear upstairs. And I was going to say straight off the bat, Lee Miller, being the youngest of us at 41.
He's so old to be touring. You needed me. Oh, that's right. I'm 48.
That's right. You can't carry. Simone carries the microphone. No, I've got to give it up. Lee Miller. I was going to talk about my new mic later, but that's okay. You can show it with my Christmas present before I open it. Lee Miller, absolutely. He took it upon himself. He did the loading. He did a lot of the heavy lifting, and Well, you know, Rick carried his sticks in, which was great.
Well, if I was Rick's age, I would be, in all due respect, that's all I carry.
Well, that's just like me carrying in my strings and someone carrying in my guitar. But just saying.
Do you reckon when you're 16 and decide you want to be a drummer, you think about when you're 60 and being a drummer?
I don't think you'd make it. Do you think you're going to make it past 30 when you're 16? When you're 16, people that are 30, they've got one foot in the grave. Anyway, just what I'm trying to do, 30. I'm trying to give Lee Miller credit for not only playing great.
Bye, Lee. Woo!
He did a lot of the hard, heavy lifting that I remember that I used to do when I was in Dave Holt band. So he doesn't get a gold medal, but he gets. That's what happens, Larry, when you're the youngest in the band and there's heavy shit to lift and you can do it. He was deadlifting some serious weights up and downstairs. I did my best. I couldn't lift my left arm
because
I
had broken elbow.
Doesn't matter.
Larry.
I can still play as long as Les Paul had his arm fixed in a position so that it was fixed to play guitar.
I've got the cortisone in the back. I just need to get the needle.
I need cortisone in my fucking mind. That's what I need. But.
Yes, well done, Lee.
Am I just allowed to say you biting in? Because I'm going to start scribbling. I would just like to say.
You missed it, didn't you, gang?
It was a hard tour and. Rick and I are less than in our peak physical performance as far as carrying gear up 3-4 flights of stairs and stuff. And Lee did it. Lee took it upon himself to load the van most nights and sometimes load me into my room on a couple of occasions, which I think that was part of his job description, but he went over and got. So Lee Miller, legend, and he played great and... It was really great to have Lee on tour. Rick, standard issue, played great, grumpy boot, love ya. What else am I going to say?
He's the most talented drummer in the world.
Yeah, and he blew everyone's mind.
Exactly, that's what an amazing drummer.
You know, Rick's Rick, and we love Rick, and that's why he's in the band. So we had... The tour was mixed up between Videlli gigs and Heavy Hitters gigs, and it became apparent very early that Rick didn't want to do those gigs. So then...
Which is cool.
That's fine. It wasn't interesting. Good. So then what happened is Lee got Rick's bass drum and bass pedal and played bass drum, bass, and sang backing /... Simon Garfunkel harmonies with me and did an amazing job with Mark on guitar, booking agent. And actually, the Heavy Hitters shows were really good. We really enjoyed them. The Videlli shows were great.
Except for Downtown.
I did miss you a little bit, Simone, I have to admit. Lee did a great job, but It's not the same without you and your swagger. No one goes downtown. No, it was good. I mean, it worked well. Sorry. This actually is my hair.
I know. I thought I was pulling a wig, but
no, it's actually my hair.
His hair.
It's
very healthy.
It is in Europe because the water's soft.
It's very soft,
mate. It is soft.
And there's a trim. They come over tomorrow for a trim.
Okay.
And just for a health trim.
Give me a health trim. I probably need to be a little trimmer all around, but...
Deanne's asked, highlight and low light. Are we getting there?
What we're going to do, we thought we'd go through... We've got the calendar, so we thought we'd just skim through all the days of the tour. If you're interested, I don't know if you're interested. If you're interested, we'll go...
I am.
We'll get to that because there was a low light and that was my fault.
Do you think we should talk about that?
Briefly.
Okay. Have your career on the line here.
No, I'm just being honest and,
that's what that podcast is, isn't it? Honesty.
I'm not going to dwell.
Honesty.
I'm not going that far, Billy Joel. But I will... What's this about? This is what happened. So...
Larry. Take it away, baby.
That was it. So, okay, so let's go. Let's go to the
So just, guys, give you a quick rundown. Michael's got the calendar up. We've got all the tours, all the gigs that he did on tour, and he's going to give you a really brief
rundown
of each gig, a couple of sentences on each gig.
All right, so...
in the meantime, I'll type away.
So on the we left on the 10th of September.
It was the 10th of September.
If you're going to chime in, that's fine, but I just need to allow time for chime. Chime time. Do you want chime time? Scusmos. All right, so
I'm so glad he's back, gang.
Jesus, I don't miss this.
Yes, I don't.
But see, I'm going to sit on the other side to even out my... See, because I get Rick's cymbals in that ear and I get your voice in that ear. And between the two of you, my hearing starts to funnel. So both of you, Rick, you get small cymbals. So we left on the 10th. Which was a fuck up at the start, really, because we had the wrong. I don't know who.
Simone
booked the wrong flight.
Simone, the business manager.
Anyway, we ended up getting the same flight. So we landed in Zurich, and then Mark, who's our booking agent slash.
You talk on that.
So Mark is our booking agent slash guitar player in Heavy Hitters Acoustic Project. He picks us up from Zurich and drives us to Freiburg, where Rick's drums have been sitting there for 7 years, and we've got our CDs, boxes of CDs that we did with Jazz House. We, Simone and I, sent the vinyl and CDs from the new album Now, which are not with Jazz House. We sent them there, so all the merch was there and the drums. So the thing what's happening now is because everyone's cramming to tour because nobody's toured for 3 years. So what's happened is the prices of vans and the prices, well, okay, straight up, the price for diesel was between $3.50 and $4.50 Australian a litre. And the prices of the vans went through the roof because only the big bands can afford to pay for them. So we've had to hire a van from Zurich. Mark picked us up from Zurich. We went to Freiburg where our record company is and all the merch is. Then we had to hire a van in Freiburg to get to Dortmund where the tour van is. And they went, that'll be €400 for one day, plus the fuel, plus the insurance. So that's about, €400 is about 600, yeah, whatever. Because there's no other way to get there. So we've landed, we've gone from Freiburg, we stayed a night in Dortmund, which was unreal, which was that really flash hotel. I don't know if some of you saw the photos.
Yeah, the chandeliers.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool.
I thought my chandelier was impressive. I actually mean that.
I wouldn't call that a chandelier. It's a lampshade.
It's the one in the lounge room.
It's a lampshade.
It's the one in the lounge room.
This thing was like, you could live in this thing. And so we spent the night there, and there was a great bar next door, and people are quite friendly when you... You give it up to yourself. Well, I don't know how to speak the language. And we do know how to speak German a little bit, but every area...
Lee's pretty good, isn't he?
Who?
Lee's German's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, but every kingdom has its own dialect.
Like West Australia versus Victoria.
It's not like going perfect and perfect. It's like... Yes, Lee does speak. And, I can get by. Entschuldigung Sie bitte, drei Jacke Cola mit viel Eis, danke, und dreimal Schnaps of Obstler. Anyway, I can get past. I can get, I can talk a little bit. And so we spent the night there, went to the restaurant next door, had a few drinks. Then the next day we drove... So we got the tour van with Lee's bass box in it and the drums were in it, and then we drove to Hamburg, which was another... All right, so from Freiburg to Dortmund was 487 kilometres. And then we stayed the night there. Then we drove to Hamburg, and that was another 352 kilometres. And we had the night off there.
And I chucked the shits going to bloody Dunsborough.
You chucked the shits going to Mandra. And then so then our first show was in Hamburg. So Mickey, who played upright bass with us before, he had my amp. And Madeline and Jörg had my Telecaster and my spare amp. So we picked up the spare gear there.
Is that the Telecaster that actually sounds like a Les Paul? Is it that?
Yes.
Love that. I can't wait to meet that guitar. I've heard a lot about it.
It's heard a lot about you.
And is it not back yet?
No, I've asked a good friend of mine to take care of it until I need it.
A legitimate chime.
Then our friend Archim, who is a co-owner manager of the Downtown Blues Club in Hamburg, he lent Lee an Ampeg bass head. So by the time we got to Hamburg, which was 3 days and 1,000 kilometres and 1,000 euros and whatever, we got there, we got the van, we had all that gear. First gig in Hamburg, all our mates turned up that I knew and Lee knew from our years of living there, and it was just, it was mighty.
Very cool.
And it was a bit nostalgic, and it was...
Were you a bit cray?
Oh, just nice that the people came.
Yeah.
Because the thing was, is Black Cherry Smoke or some other big band was playing that night in the Mark Tully.
Yeah.
And normally everyone would have gone to that gig. And,
that's cute.
Yeah, and so I would say 90% of people that we were hoping would come came.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. And it was a great gig. And then, we were in Hamburg, and then from Hamburg we drove to Ulde, which is a kind of university town where there's a place called the Alte Post, which is like the old post, and it's it's where... It's kind of like a TAFE kind of place where the students do the sound and the lights.
That's
and
all. Cool.
Yeah, and we did that as
That's
the
heavy. Really cool.
We did that as the heavy hitters.
So they got the experience of.
We've done that gig 6 or 8 times.
Are they getting better?
No, they're different kids all the time. They move through. They progress. I'm assuming they've actually got jobs.
Are you sure they're different?
And the guy there, Thomas, he's a monster. He's got to be at least 6'10". No, bigger. No, he's bigger than that. He's 6'10". It's like when you shake his hand, he's like he's wearing a baseball glove. Hey, going, Thomas, you know what I was
about? Wow. I love people that are bigger than us.
Well, I'll give you his number. It's right here. Thomas Steinhoff is his number. It was really great. So we did that. Forgot to say, by the way, these first few gigs we did with Art of Dysfunction.
Oh, yes.
I know.
On the board.
I know. And so one of the biggest kicks for me of the whole tour was to have the boys on board with us.
And they did.
And they...
Shadows kids.
I'll just say this right now because they played the first few, five or six games. They behaved themselves, you know, within reason.
Royce.
They didn't get arrested. They turned up on time. They played great. They blew every audience away. They won everyone. I was so proud of them. Because I kind of put my name to them, and I did trust them, but. You know, you've always got that,
We know it can happen.
And they blew everyone away. It was just...
No, they didn't get arrested.
Not while they were doing our thing. I'm not sure what happened.
What happened in Amsterdam?
Don't care. a shard of dysfunction. Man, that's terrible. Funny but terrible. They really played well. They used our gear. They didn't break anything. Oh, maybe a couple of things, but that's all right. And I really think they've got a future.
I think so.
And they were just...
I love them.
Absolute gentlemen. And they acted above their years, and I was very...
They were humble and respectful.
I had a combination of relief and pride, if there is such a combination. They absolutely play. And that gig, they had to play acoustic. We said, hey, you're going to play acoustic. I go, we don't play acoustic. I said, works.
That just shows that they're real musicians, doesn't it? Because they can adapt.
They smashed it. They used our stuff. I said, hey, here's Mark. And Mark was cool.
No, Dee, we love it.
They used our mint. So then from Ulleh, we drove to... Dresden got cancelled.
Well, you made my wig move.
So Dresden got cancelled.
You had to do the private party.
Dresden got cancelled because what's happening a lot at the moment in Europe is if the venues aren't getting enough pre-sales, they cancel the gigs, or the bands will cancel gigs. And because so many gigs are getting cancelled, a lot of people aren't buying pre-sales because it's hard to chase the money up and all that kind of stuff. So we were really disappointed because Dresden, that gig, the Tante Jew, is a big gig. So we were kind of devastated. And then Art of Dysfunction, we're going to play that with us. And I said to Mark, is there anything that we can pull out of our ass here? And he said, oh, there was a guy that wanted you to do a private show. I said, get on the phone. Long story short, we got another show. It saved us about 1,200 kilometres in driving. We actually made some dough. Everyone had a great time, and we played in this village in a really old German hall, and the guys were just blown out, like the Art of Dysfunction.
Can I do a legitimate chime in on that? So part of the reason the gigs may not have been pre-sale sold out was because apparently, and this is correct me if I'm wrong, the COVID thing is still a thing in Europe, so people are still not as at ease to go out as we are.
Well,
is that correct?
That's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that promoters, venues and or bands get cold feet when they don't have the normal pre-sale.
Yeah.
So, for example...
No, but my point was the pre-sales aren't as up as they usually of COVID.
Partly, but a lot of it is because people buy pre-sale, then the venue or the band says, we're not coming.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so... So they're going, well, we'll wait to make sure that the gig's on.
Hey, Sean.
Then we'll buy our ticket when we know the gig, like, on the day. Yeah. So it's a...
Hit me.
It's a spiral. So...
Risk-taking.
One extreme is the guy from Dresden goes, if I don't have 200 pre-sales, I'm not doing the show. Another example is a gig I'll talk about later, a guy in Straubing that says, whatever, if I've only sold one ticket.
200 pre-sales is tough anyway, unless you're bloody Foo Fighters.
No, I'm not in those. Like those venues, you'd probably get, you're hoping for 500-600 people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the big ones.
Oh,
the big,
okay.
Biggest venues. So,
I'd be hoping for 5. Me personally, not Vidali, me, Simone.
Well, what you're hoping is it's enough that everybody gets paid to get enough fuel and get the next gig and maybe a little bit extra for someone. But so anyway, that gig got cancelled. Mark, our booker, tour manager / guitar player, he said, oh, there's a guy who wants a party. Anyway, we ended up in this village. It was awesome. We played in this hall. They looked after us unbelievably well. And I said, you guys headline, we'll play first. You guys do the thing, and it was a great night. It was awesome. So that was that night. So the next night we went to Hanover, and this is at the Blues Garage. Now, this gig, it took us maybe 12 years to get this gig, and he said he didn't want the support band because he didn't know them and he didn't feel that they'd earned their way in. And I was disappointed about that, but at the same time, I went, okay, it took us 10 years to get a gig there. I explained that to the boys. I just thought, Zach, is it okay if I do half an hour? And Henry at Blues Garage is a staunch, solid dude. And to get a gig there, you have to earn your stripes. And he went, they need to do some more miles. And I explained that to the guys. I said, hey, We got knocked back for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right, so that, and they were cool, and I think they went to Cologne or somewhere and just
Perfect.
Yeah. So that was a short drive. Then the next day we caught up with the boys.
Are we doing 5 weeks of day by day?
Yeah, is that right? We're doing it quickly. Then the next day was 300 plus kilometre drive to Dusseldorf.
I love that word.
At the picture.
Dusseldorf.
And the picture is a small kind of, probably like the size of the Indy bar, if you cut it off at the bar to the back, that kind of size. And it's a kind of really grungy rock, loud venue, and the guys absolutely smashed it.
Of course.
And everyone came to see us. They didn't know that the boys were playing, and they just won all the they won everyone over. It was really great. And that guy there from the picture, he's one of those guys that goes, I don't care if I haven't sold one ticket. If I've booked a band, I'll back it in. And it was okay.
That's awesome.
I said to him, I said, I want to buy a T-shirt. He said, no, no, you have it. I said, no, I want to buy a T-shirt.
Well, did you say, if you buy one of mine, I'll buy one of yours?
No, I just said, I don't care. I know you didn't get that for free. I'm paying for it.
You can't say no, because there are no pictures all down. It was from
the venue's called The Picture, like as a picture.
Yeah.
Or like a jug, picture. Yeah. And that guy's totally solid dude and backs in original bands. Doesn't do tribute bands.
Really. I love that.
Nothing against tribute bands, but that's not where we live. And he backed it in and the boys absolutely smashed it. And people actually came from Holland and all around to come to that gig to see us play. And they said, who are these guys?
I said, yeah, you just would.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't drive 800 kilometres to see a band. But anyway, so the next day we did a TV show.
Right, and then
we're a bit blurry.
And then why is it blurry? Because we're talking about the TV show. Next day?
No, I've got to be honest.
Hang on, why are we blurry first?
Because, I don't know, is it blurry now?
No,
what happened? No, I've got to own this for myself.
Oh, I don't think we should talk about it.
No, just, well, I'm going to.
Okay.
What happened is I had this
makeup.
I had some pain issues, like here and my knee and that. And then I couldn't actually pick up my guitar. And so I.
Just let me tell the gang, it was at this stage where I nearly called off the tour this day, just so you know, this is how bad it was.
No.
How bad Michael's pain was.
No, but I don't want to sound soft.
I
have to apologise to him. But what happened? So I couldn't pick up the guitar by left hand. I could play, but I couldn't make that motion. And so I had a few little serious painkillers in my bag, and I took.
They were just in cases.
I took one about an hour before the show, and then nothing happened, and then it was still killing. So then I took another one, and then the band that was on before played like half an hour or 40 minutes over time. And I had the second one, then I drank half a bottle of scotch, and then it was like action, and then I started talking to the crew, like, what are you doing back there? Haven't you got a home to go to? And all this kind of like, just is completely. So I blew that television show out, which was for the heavy hitters, and I didn't make any friends in the band. And I publicly apologised for that. I blew it.
Just, you own it.
I'm owning it.
You won't do it again.
I can't promise that, but I hope
won't do it again. But when you're in pain,
what actually happened? So the next morning,
I'm not excusing you.
Hang on, I'll just give you the story. So the next morning, well, after that gig, we drove directly to Bremen, which is where Steffi, my wife's family, is.
Thank God.
And she rang her dad and said, you know, Michael can't walk, he can't pick, you know. And so they took me to the hospital. And then
that was the day I said, right, that's it, the tour.
No, so what happened was they did these tests and they said, well, your knee you're full of arthritis and you're old, you need a new knee, you can't do anything about it. The thing is with Europe is everything's up and down stairs. And carrying gear up and down stairs is not good for bad. So, all right, can't do anything about it. But what happened is in here I had...
blood infection.
Yeah, I had this thing, and it was like you couldn't touch it.
Did they say it was from the cortisone injection?
I had cortisone before I left.
Yeah, did they say it was linked?
They just said you've got it. You got a nasty little infection, and it was quite. It was,
yeah, go you don't. It was, yeah, it was, I think so too.
It was very painful, and my main thought was I can't play.
I can't play,
and in the past I've had certain coping mechanisms, and I kind of overcooked it. But I really let everyone down. I felt like it's just, I felt like shit. I really, that one big show on TV.
You know
like,
what, you know, it happened.
Yeah, well, so that,
whatever,
so,
we've all done that.
So I'm moving on, but I'm just, I'm not going to skip.
You need to get your elbow and knee addressed now you're home.
Well,
because
we have the technology.
We have a lot of years left of playing. We can rebuild it.
No, I'm just saying, I didn't want to gloss over that. Because that's what happened. So then we had another day, a free day in Bremen, which cost about €1,000.
For a free day?
I know. Because anyway, then the next day we played in Bremen at the Meiselfried Blues Club, and all of Steffi's family
that's
came.
That's so cute. I love that.
I know, but...
Ta-da,
oh, no,
and
yeah. Well, no, it was that day. No, everyone was there. No, it was great. Oh, but they kind of got, like...
Did they know that you'd just been in hospital that same day?
Oh, probably, because her dad took me. But the thing was, is the Meisenfrei on a Tuesday night, it's like playing at Mojo's maybe on a Tuesday night, let's say, and there's a handful, well, it's probably 50 or 60 people, and they were kind of going, oh, my, I was kind of going, thinking, my daughter's married.
It's not better now, Matt, but he's pushing through.
It's better than it was. It's okay. Anyway, it was really great that they made it, and Steffi's mum's gold because she just doesn't comprehend. I don't understand German. So she's like just talking at me like and Steffi's sister was there, Nico. She's beautiful. And Wolfgang was there, and her dad, Gerd, is the nicest person. All the cousins were. The cousins come from the farm. They were like, they were our kind of people.
They're like, oh, my God, what is our girl married?
Yeah, well, and then we drove from... then we drove 673 kilometres to have a day off in Bonfuck, really, in Ingolstadt, and the next night we were in Munich, but because it was Oktoberfest, to get a hotel in the city in Oktoberfest was like about €300 a room, so about $500 a room. So we had to stay an hour outside of Munich to play at the backstage, which is an awesome venue. So we drove an hour into town, played the gig with our friends Blues Control, who are awesome, Christian, Gunther, and forgive me, the drummer's a new drummer, but they've been our friends for 20 years, Gunther and Christian, and they played a fantastic set, and thank you for giving me a pre-listen to your album, because I think these guys are writing songs in a second language. And Christian goes, be honest, tell me what you think. And I said, man, like, you're really writing. He was really writing from his heart, you know. And I just said, man, that's really courageous to write such personal lyrics in a second language. And of it, the band's great. But he really sang so well. No, I'm not doing that. I mean, what, you think we're losing people? And then we played in Munich at Backstage, which was great. Then we went to the Halle, which was a 200-plus kilometre drive to our friends in the Schwäbisch people where we started.
Schwäbisch from
Baden-Württemberg. They were awesome. And then from there we drove Then we drove to Gare de Lyon in
French.
It is French, but it's Swiss French. That was awesome. That was a rock and roll club. Then I'll just speed up. Then we went to one of our most favourite. We drove 690 kilometres to one of the first gigs we ever played in a town called Riede for a guy called Andre, who's a total maniac. And the thing was, when we got on stage, I looked to my left and I saw Rick. Then I looked to my right and there's a huge picture of Rick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there was one of me there and another. Wow. And I was completely gaga. And Andre's going, "You've got a day off tomorrow, don't you?" I said, "Yeah," because, oh, my God. Anyway, so we had a pretty big night there and we got a recording from there. Then the next day we drove 446 kilometres, and then the next day we played in Fürth, which is a great town. Then the next day we had a day off, we drove to Czech Republic. That was only 230 kilometres. And then we drove... by the way, Czech Republic...
You loved it, didn't you?
Yeah. Because the people are just absolutely
pretty cool.
They're just real. Their buildings are verging on derelict. Like, they've got the buildings.
But in a good way?
No.
Oh.
No, the buildings are, these people are, they're not in the euro, so they've got their own money. Bit like the rupiah or something, like it's $9,000 for a beer or whatever, which is about $4 or $3. They don't speak any English.
And they don't want to.
They don't give a shit.
They don't care.
They don't care. And it's...
But it's beautiful, yeah, from what you... aside from the derelict side, the countryside and whatever.
The people are beautiful.
All right.
And the people don't give a fuck, and the people give it that one to the EU. And I love them for that, and they love music and
you
I love culture.
You had successful gigs then, didn't you?
I love it there. What's striking is used to be Czechoslovakia, so now it's Czech Republic and Slovakia. So Slovakia is in the economic European Union and Czech isn't. So Czech, the buildings are crumbling down. It looks like they've just come out of World War II. And then you cross the border and everything's brand new. And that was frightening. Just that, you know, a line can make so. But if you're born on that side, you get that. But the spirit of those people is okay. Highlight this guy called Miro. The night before that we played the gig, because we got there the day before to set up. They said, "I know you're meant to be here tomorrow." And we said, "No, we've got a night off here," and then we played tomorrow. There was this big balls up, whatever. Anyway, we ended up staying there and they brought us out this amazing food and we sat there and this guy Peter came out. I think he was a bit of a... He was testing this. He's going, "Come on, we drink." I said, "Oh, all right, let's drink."
You reckon you drink?
Right, okay. Did we have a shot of rum? And I said, "No worries about it." Anyway, after about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, I said, "Come on, mate, we have another." "No, no, I'll see you tomorrow." And he bailed out. And then the night of the... Before... That night ended, the manager said, "There's a guy, Miro, who sings in his band. He wants to sing Could Be Good." And I went, "No worries, mate."
No way.
Yeah. And so, and he says, "Oh, do you remember last night you said this guy could sing Could Be Good?" And I've gone, "Oh, yeah, I do."
Is that the guy that sent us a video about a year ago?
No.
Oh.
No, it's not a guy. So, anyway, so this guy comes up before the gig. I'm playing this wonderful hall and everything. Everyone was great. And my name's Miroslav and it says, "I don't understand the words, but I write it phonetic." And so he wrote it in Czech and he goes, "Hey, you tell me why I'm supposed to be it." And I said, "Mate, fucking sweet."
Oh, wow.
Right, so he's got the
place. Wow.
And he nailed
it.
He nails it. And all his friends are going, "Fucking yeah!" And he goes, "Oh, thank you so much." I said, "Man, that was just like..."
And were they good?
Yeah, he was good.
He was good.
And then he said, his name was Miroslav, and his son's name was something like it was similar. And he introduced his whole family, And was it okay? I was like, I says, man, do you know what it's like to have someone that doesn't have a fucking clue what they're singing and sings it 99% perfect?
And from here?
Yeah, and he nailed it. And I said,
I love that.
I said, man, he goes, I'm so good. I said, man, the fact that you actually learnt my song. I said, anyway, so we obviously we drank to the warehouse. So that was just out of its mind.
That's totally out of its mind. Yeah, it was out of its mind. I love that.
And then we went to Bromov. To eat it up, like, this is like you're talking. Like 7 years after World War II, everything's blown up. Nobody goes anywhere. Cobblestone, mangled metal and shit, and this metal door opens and you walk down this place and there's a club, right? And we played there 3 or 4 times. And
is it a dodgy club?
No, it's just unbelievable. They've got a huge PA and stage, and then you go, where's everyone to come from? And then you start playing. Oh, but that night, so Rick goes.
That night?
Rick, no, but this is kind of funny.
Bye, Matt. Love you.
See you, Matt. Good luck.
Thanks for coming in.
So they, long story short, Rick set his kit up. He set the club's kit up. Then the support band came and said, I can't play that kit. Then he set his kit up. Rick had to play on his kit. And they were like a kind of Green Day metal band. Yeah. Right? And anyway, that was...
Modern rock.
That, yeah, that was another story. They were fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we went to... the Blue Note Jazz Club in Slovakia. And they were, like I said, you know, they were kind of like the Blues Police and the Jazz BI sitting there with their arms folded. And we had to kind of, you know, by the end it was like, great. Then from there we went to this grungiest rock club in Germany called the Rock, what was it called? The Rock something, hang on. Rockstuble, right? Yeah, that, and that was out of its mind. Then we went to Kempten, where we played. God. No, this is big because we've been playing there for years. And then a friend, Marcus, this guy Marcus, is a friend of ours. He keeps booking us in all these different venues, and we needed a Monday night gig. And Mark goes, Mark, our booking agent, Marcus, can you book us a gig? Book your gig. Books is a gig in an art gallery that was built in the 1500s.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was completely insane. All these people come to know. And we're drinking these beers that it says since 1400 and something. And
was that the one with the cold beer?
No, that's another place. But, like, he goes, you're looking at the beams that are holding this place up, and they're these huge beams of oak.
Oh, Thomas, moin,
Thomas.
You're not late.
Thomas is out of the picture. And it just blew our mind. And that was when we first played as a three-piece with Lee, I think, and that was great. And we saw Ziggy and Hans got up and played harp. Armin, our friend, the photographer, and Sabina.
You've met so many beautiful friends on your trip.
I could tell you every gig. That
well, why don't you do a podcast, like a week or a month of podcasts, of telling about your friends you've met over there?
Well, is this boring for everyone?
Not at all. No,
I'm just skimming through.
I wasn't shutting you down, just saying another idea. Why don't you, like... focus on one person in one country.
Well, they don't want to be on TV.
Oh, unlike me.
Not like you. And then we went back to Furt, where we played as Videli before, which is near Nuremberg. And I actually got the electrics replaced in my Les Paul because the treble was dying. And... my guitar was dead.
Why don't you tell that story in itself? That was a cool, like...
Yeah, I was just going, like, this is shit.
No, but the customer service, like...
Oh, no,
I watched the emails back and forth.
Right,
and
so I emailed this guy who was near and he said... I should be able to do it, blah, 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 can't do it, here's another guy, blah, blah, blah. And he said, do you know BTM guitars? I said, yeah, they're in Nuremberg, because I lost my mind there about 5 years ago with the Guild acoustic, which was about 8,000 euros. And I nearly bought it on my card, and somehow I got dragged out that day. I wish I did, but anyway, I walked in there, and they actually had one pair of EL84 valves, because you can't get valves anymore because they're all made in Russia. And I thought it was maybe my amp, so I bought the brand new EL84 amps and my Jet City self-biasing, so I whacked them in, still sounded like shit, and then I just went, you know what, I need new volume tone pipes, I need all new electrics, this sounds like shit. And they did that for me overnight, and I put the tubes in myself, and it improved to about 60-70%, and then there's something not quite right in my old Les Paul. Anyway, I got through the tour with it. But BTM guitars in, I think it's called BTM, I hope it's the right name, in Nuremberg, they've got, like, I did a quick video, they've got probably 500 guitars that you probably would kill one of, well, maybe not kill a friend, but possibly cut off a toe for. They were completely fantastic. Then we went to Straubing, which a place called The Raven, which is in Bavaria, and we played there many times. We did there as the heavy hitters, and we saw some friends of ours that we'd known for 20 years, actually, that had been coming to that gig. We used to play at the train station. There's a bar there. The train station's no longer there, but that's where we started. And we have a... Did you just cark it?
No, I went for a week, and I was trying to put... So people didn't notice.
They did well. No one noticed.
I'm crawling.
And so it was great to play in Straubing. And Fred that runs, he's the guy I was talking about before. He says, I don't care if I sell a ticket or not. If I book a gig, the gig's on. So he did that. And then we went to Hassau, the Triangle, where we played the first night as heavy hitters and the second night as Battalion. And Sasha and Miriam are quite... possibly the best husband-wife team that I've ever worked for. They're absolutely beautiful people. And those, some of those shots you've seen of the castle and the amphitheatre and that, Sasha showed us around. And their kids, Jonah and Ivy. And
cute names.
Yeah, and they drew pictures for us.
Matt wants to know what's the story with the cops, Mike. You did say it on Facebook, but do you want to retell it?
Yeah, well...
When you get to that part of the...
I have to back up. So what happened...
Oh, yeah, you do.
I had to dump some money into Western Union, and the only Western Union was...
Our accountant's watching.
No, but I'm just saying
what
that.
What a nightmare.
We set up all this stuff to put money into you.
So we did it all perfectly.
Can't do it. So I went to Western Union. You can't put into a company. You can't. So when the only Western Union in Basel was at the train station. So Mark and Lee had gone in Mark's car and Rick and I were in the van. And so we've taken the Navi to... the train station where the thing was, and there was a white van parked like right at the front. And so I thought, well, we'll just park there.
As you would.
So we parked there, and I've gone in. It was probably, I don't know, probably took me 15, 20 minutes before I put the money in. And I came out, and as I got back in the van, the white van was gone. It was just us, and then these cops turned up and, you know, had the little guy and then the really big guy, you know, with the hands in the bulletproof vest. And he was just staring at me like that, like with really kind of, it was kind of like, if I said, what's your fucking problem, which is what I felt like saying, but I didn't, it would have been on. But I said nothing. The other guy goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, we're lost. We're from Australia. I had to go into the...
Bank.
No. I had to go to get to a payphone to ring our tour manager to find the address. of where we're going. We've got the address now, and we're on our way. And then the other guy goes, you know that you can't park anywhere between 200 metres within this area? And I said, I just saw the van next to us.
We're Australian, mates.
And he goes,
you're lucky I wasn't there. I would have given him what for, and we would have been in jail.
Well, luckily your brother has a slightly better temper than you do. A temperament, they say.
Actually, that's... Michael!
So the guy goes, you're a Marilyn Ishro. So the little guy goes, you've got any ID? And I go, yeah. So I give him my passport. He goes away. And the other guy's just staring at me like that. And I go, hey, go, mate. He goes, not bad. How are you? I said, well, I'm not bad. And now I've got the address to where we're going. We're really freaking out because in Basel there's like bicycles everywhere and there's trams left and right. I said, man, we're freaking out. And he goes, what do you mean freaking out? Don't you have trams in Australia? And I said, well, we do in Melbourne, Melbourne. We're from Perth. We're from Western Australia. We just got colour TV 2 years ago. And I said, yeah. I said, yeah. Man, this, and I said, do you get much crime here? He goes, we have at least 2 or 3 stabbings a weekend. I said, really?
Then
his hands came out of his, and then he sort of like that. I said, gee, man, like, do you ever feel frightened? Anyway, by the time the guy came back with my passport, he was our best mate. And then they said,
of course he was.
He goes, do you know where you guys are going? I said, well, it's on the navy, but I don't want to kill anyone because, you know, we drive on the other side. He goes, look, we'll give you an escort out of the city. And I said,
who gets an escort?
We did. And I said, that would be fantastic. And so they drove us through all that and they stopped, you know, when the trams were coming, they really guided us out. And as we got onto the freeway, like Autobahn, they pulled to the left and we drove totally up. And the guy goes, are you all right? And we went, all right, man. He goes, we said, thanks a lot. And then we're on our way.
I love that.
And so that was good. No, you know. And so that was that one. But no, I'm backing up a little bit. And then we went to Braunau. So Braunau is everyone knows.
Austria.
Well, that's the town.
The hills are alive
with the town that Hitler was born in.
Oh.
It's called Braunau. And his house is still there untouched. And
it's on mobile phone, Daddy.
We don't have mobile. You don't have a phone booth. No, but so Braunau.
You know what? I've just got a glass the first time ever. I normally get the bottle.
And so we've been playing at this place called the Good Theatre for 15 years. It's a wonderful, wonderful theatre. It's a beautiful stage, backstage. It's a kind of little amphitheatre. Sounds great. The gear's great. Wolfie, our friend, I don't know if you're watching this, Wolfie, but, you know, he helped us get there. And we love playing there. It's just fantastic. We get looked after wonderfully there. Then the next day we went to Pfaffenhofen.
Oh, Pfaffenhofen. Pfaffenhofen. That reminds me of, Pfaffenhofen, Triple Tucker.
All right, well, that would just deliver you straight to a Bavarian Irish pub, which is called Fiddler's Green Irish pub. And Jens, he's there, it's his joint, and he's a sound guy / muso. So you go there and everything's set up. So all the stage's got stage boxes built into the stage. The PA, he does the sound and pours the piss from the same spot. It's great. It was great. We had a great night there.
Awesome.
Next time off, we went to Then we went to Basel. Then we went to Chur, which is up in the mountains. Then we had a day off. Then we went further up the mountains. Then we went to Eulenspiegel, which is where we first started.
Eulenspiegel.
25 years ago. And then Rick and Lee went home, and Lee and Mark and I sorted out a gig. So that's the tour. There's a bit more to it, but that's a brief overview.
And over the next few weeks, we'll absolutely endeavour to chime in on a few more.
But basically, we did
10.
When we took the van, when the guy came to pick up the van, we did just over 10,000 Ks. And we worked our asses off and we hardly slept. And I loved every second of it. Even what I hated.
Lee's a bit naughty.
What? Yeah, no, we're big there, Matt. We're big there. But it was hard. It was hardcore. But and the thing is it's getting like I think we probably everyone got paid, and I think we're going to break even. But when you're paying $4.50 a litre for diesel, and you do 10,000 k's,
me the tuned.
It's
I'm so glad of my decision to not go.
Let's save this $5,000.
How?
But you can't. Well, by you not drinking,
I would have paid mine.
Yeah, sure. Anyway,
have I ever?
But it's really tough for everyone, and especially because there's a downward push. So what's happening is all the bands that are above us, like we've always been a kind of slightly mid-ish upper band, and there's the big bands above us. So what's happening is they're pushing down because it's getting tougher. So the prices of vans and gear hire and all that's going up, and it's tougher. So I, to be honest, like just straight up, I reckon we did great. If we did this tour 10 years ago,
we're smashed.
We would have really, I would have had feeling you.
But on the upside, lucky.
That is the upside.
Oh.
That is the up. The downside would have been, Simone, I'm going to go live up in Bullsbrook with Noel, and I'm just getting off the
rails. Hey, I was just going to say, how much unreal. So now that you're home, there's like we are booked every weekend just about. So that's what my
upside. So next week we've got the Leopold.
Jesus, you spat on me.
That was you and it reflected. So basically the banner was wrong.
Yes, and sure, we fixed it. So
thank you for those of you that let us know that we...
So Simone didn't do her admin job properly.
Due diligence.
Well, you know, no, I haven't had much on.
It happens.
I haven't had much on, gang.
Well, we've had a lot of time to, yeah, but it's okay. Priorities.
It's a week. It took 1 minute.
Oh, well. This took ages.
So, look. On the outside, there's a lot of, not bad side. The tour
was amazing. No.
I'm a little bit gel. I wasn't there. I do.
You know what saved us is we sold a shitload of CDs, which was unreal.
So, which reminds me, guys, part of the merch was the new tees, which I did promise you I would make. And...
you just got to transition.
I know how to do it.
But then I can't hear, can I?
Yes, they can hear me.
Okay.
You can hear me, Kate. So I know there's a crappy Simone put a drawing on a T-shirt design, but the real ones look mint. They are on our website. They're already selling out like you wouldn't believe. So these are going to be for sale in at every gig going forward, and they're also online. Videli.com.au merch. Jump on. I've got very, very few sizes, especially of the tanks. So if you want one, don't miss out.
All right. Now, there's a couple of things I want to say before we finish.
Oh, me too, Matt.
Right. Now, I want to thank my friend Eric.
Yes, George, we are. We're getting to that.
I'd like to thank my friend Eric, who... we've been working on, well, look, it's his baby, but I've been the test subject, the lab rat, let's say, for these, I don't know how to put it, let's say sonic filters that I've been using for over 10 years that he's refined, and I took a whole bunch of them on tour, and I have to speak to Eric about the results, but overall... it blew everyone's mind. All right, that's all I can say at this point. So thanks, Eric. And I know that, like I said, I'll have this SIM card. Take out your SIM card, put your SIM card in, take out your SIM card. Anyway, well, I'll speak with you soon. But I'd like to thank Eric for exactly that. That's what it does to your head when you hear it.
Well, I thought it was time I got you.
That's why I don't care. I don't have to go to work and talk to people in porn tomorrow.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
Yes,
oh, no,
do.
I don't. We haven't got there
We've
yet.
Got a meeting. Wait. We'll tell you about in a minute.
That's Morris. Simone. So I just want to say, Eric, I through your inventions, I did freak a lot of people out, and it really developed their sound. Now, I did show a picture of a mic that I used, and I thought it was the best mic ever used, and apparently everybody knows what they are. They're these. Sennheiser.
You come tonight.
Don't know what lipstick on. And I'd like to thank Mark Rana for buying me this.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark, no, he bought me this, and these are like the best mics I've ever seen.
Can I try it?
And I want to put a little tongue. Anyway.
Can I try it?
It's not plugged in, mate. And the other thing is the Heavy Hitters EP, right? That's got 5 of our songs on there, and I think we're going to put them on the website. And actually, it got a pretty good review.
Yes, Tina.
And here's the fact. No, and so we're going to put that on there. And Kept My Guitars, who is my new acoustic guitar people in Europe. They're amazing. I still have to get it from there to here because I've only got a soft case. But the
big news
is, this is the big news.
Big news.
Go to hairstyle.
So Michael and I are going in cahoots.
Yeah, they're really going to use this to promote themselves.
Why wouldn't they? What's wrong with my hair? So
I don't think you're the problem right here.
Frio guitars that stock Wolf guitars and Andrew White guitars that are amazing. They're a very, very niche guitar
awesome.
Shop in Fremantle in Perth. We are locking horns, and Michael's going to be doing all of his guitar lessons from their shop. We're going to be
in
Fremantle. We are going to be doing the podcast live from their amazing studio as of next week. So look out, gang. Their guitars are insane. Michael is actually going to be playing a Wolf guitar at the George Thorogood gigs. So
you'll hear
them, and where Michael's endorsing them, and Michael doesn't endorse anything. So like these are.
Simone's.
We will tell you a lot more about these.
I endorse Wolf guitars. You and I need to go through the detail for me endorsing you.
The amazing, beautiful guitars that come over from Korea, but they get the
they're final. Unreal.
Anyway.
Can I tell a little story about that? So
I was going to get into the nitty gritty.
No, I'm going to tell you.
Erica from Frio Guitars is the most amazing woman I've ever met.
Yes, she's
I'm
awesome.
Very excited to
awesome.
Go into business with
but
her.
But I want to tell you about the
secret.
I said to the guys, before I left Perth, I said, I want to go to Tormund. So Tormund in Germany is like the IKEA or Amazon of musical instruments. It's like, you know, if you're in Perth, the IKEA in Aussie Park, it's like 4 of them stuck together with a city built around it. And I said, we need to get those guitars in there. I'll go in there. Anyway, so I'm going, how am I going to get to there? Well, actually, to be honest, I'm going, okay. So I'm having lunch in this restaurant in Bavaria, and I had a guitar on my T-shirt, and the waitress comes up and goes, are you a musician? I said, yeah. She goes, you know, the Tormund's 4 kilometres that way.
Wow.
I said, no, I didn't. So then I went and I spoke to I walked straight in. Now I said, who's the head of guitar purchasing here? Oh, my name's Donald, whatever his name is, I can't remember now. And I said, you've got a niche right here for guitars between 800 and 2 grand. Yes, we've got no quality guitars in that era. I said, I've got some for you. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. We're going to put them in there and they're going to go.
And they're amazing guitars.
Yes.
The shop is amazing. So 1 Quarry Street, Fremantle,
yeah.
Ever in Frio.
Get there.
go and have a look.
I was blown out.
We're also going to go to Southern California to NAMM, to the biggest guitar expo in the world.
Music expo.
And to showcase Frio/Wolf guitars. We're very excited. They've got straps, they've got strings, they've got all the accessories, but most importantly, their guitars are beautiful and the final luthism, is that a word?
Well, the final product
happens in Perth, in Frio. It happens here. Yeah. So,
and it's world class. And
to the point that I'm trusting, hang on, check this out.
Someone's got it. That was the end of that guitar.
That was just a stand. I'm taking my beautiful 1978 Maiden to them tomorrow to do a little bit of work on her. If anyone knows me and knows this guitar, you'll know how much it means to me.
Cole, Michael, thanks for giving me that guitar.
Yeah, thanks, I trust their luthiers that much. I'm trusting with this. And that's really saying something.
Look at Joe Street.
You got the idea. Anyway.
You know, what it is it's not nothing against the other stores.
Absolutely, job support local, and
but it's actually about people that got the microscope, not the microscope, the magnifying glass, white hot. It's to that point where shit really starts to matter.
They're beautiful guitars,
are they?
Well, that is a beautiful guitar.
I'll go over to you now. Next coming off.
You gave to me with the neck already fucked. Guitars.com. You'll see everything. Our lessons, Michael's lessons, are also going to be held from there.
Doing Mondays and Wednesdays.
Just doing Monday, and we're actually linking in with Free Guitars, so you can book online shortly, whether it's on videli.com.au or freeguitars.com.
We're across pollination.
So all our current students, I have you all booked in. For all new students, if you're based in Frio and it might suit you, shortly you'll be able to jump online. We are going to have a meeting with Erica tomorrow, so all of those little things.
It's very exciting.
Very exciting. I'm very proud of Frio Guitars and Erica and Peter for making this happen. And I'm very proud of
Erica. I forgot. No, we'll see. I reckon that the tone phone, I'm not going to call it the right name.
Couple of last quick things. Yes, Michael Videli, the band Videli, is playing at the Duke of York on New Year's Eve. Duke and George, sorry, gang.
I played the sad day with the Rock Hoppers at the Cottage Night.
I'm getting there. It was my Pat Benatar week. So Saturday night, Rock Hoppers at the Cottage Night. Friday the 28th of October, Videli are playing at the Leopold. There's a million gigs in between and after, but please know that New Year's Eve is at the Duke of George, so if you want to get your
tickets. And with Blue Manor, which is Dave Hole and the other band, the other guys, not sure who they are.
We'll advertise that when we've got that. Buy a new T-shirt if you haven't already, otherwise it'll be for sale at all the gigs. And I just want to shout out to True Grit. Graham, I hope your ankle is okay. And I'm officially part of the band.
Is officially? Has that been a small fish?
Well, they asked me.
Is that a small fish?
No, they've asked me. So hence why I've got my Pat Benatar.
Now, have we missed anything?
No, I'm looking at the board.
Checkmark Guitars in Europe from Denmark. Thank you.
Yeah.
By the way, some people will say, what was that Telecaster you were playing? That's my 1973 Telecaster, I'm just saying.
Love you all. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Yeah, Michael is back. I'm sure you're all
agree. I think he had a much better show without me, but
I doubt it.
Love you all. Thank you so
much. Thanks, Georgie.
And by the way, thanks everyone for messages and all that on the road, because
Why can't we see us?
Because you're there, Larry.
Hey, why is that?
Because I'm about to go to the slideshow.
Wait, are we going to do a song? Yes, let's do a quick one bar.
Okay, that will go something you like. That's actually 2 bars.
Do 12 bars. So we're not doing a song, clearly. Everyone missed our final song.
I've got an X on my hair because my sister thought that I look better. Don't you put one on my cheek? I think, till I look so sweet.
Oh, how's my contour? Look at... No, Michael!
I'm out of control.
Michael, I've got meetings tomorrow. It doesn't matter.
I know.
Yeah, but you don't matter. Ready, let's go.
I got shit on my face.
We're doing a goodbye song. Ready? You pick it. You pick the goodbye song.
It doesn't matter if my sister tried to draw shit on my face.
Because I miss you.
Tomorrow we've got an important business meeting, but I got shit on my face.
Because I miss you.
I hope they'll understand. The same man with shit on my face.
Oh, the same man without shit on your face, yeah, yeah.
I got shit on my face.
I just got shit on my face.
I put shit on my face.
I put shit on his face.
Lucky it's only one side.
Support. I love you.
Watch some of our photos. Bye-bye.